The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What's going up? What's going up, nerds? That makes me a nerd, Raj. What's going on, nerds? Give me a call at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Well, you might be surprised. You know, it's funny. Some players get reputations a certain way, and they change over time. And everyone knows Julius Randle can shoot the three ball nowadays, but you'd be surprised to find out how well. And by the way, that goes for Lonzo Ball, too, who should be a Knicks trade target. Whether or not he actually turns out to be, trade deadline coming up, we'll see. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Julius Randle, you know what kind of numbers he puts up? And he didn't have the rebounding numbers last night. He's putting up Charles Barkley numbers. Yeah, Barkley used to give you things like, it used to feel like Barkley would be like 35 points, 20 boards, and 18 something or others. Who the hell knows? He used to stuff that stat box. Okay, it's not like Julius Randle had a million rebounds last night, but he shot better than Bradley Beal. Listen to this. This season, Julius Randle has shot 208 times from three, made 89. Bradley Beal, 255 times, so he shoots it more often, made 85. Well, that's no joke. Randle outplayed Beal, who had only 22 points, had a bad game. He was a minus 20. That was the worst in the game. New York played, listen, the Knicks play good defense. Westbrook was 3 of 14. Randle was 7 of 10 from deep. 7 of 10. Of course, it's all those lefty moves. If Julius Randle ever gets a right hand for real, it's going to be a problem. Dude's giving you 37 points. You see the numbers there on ESPN, plus 37 and 6. Randle is a guy, listen, all the... And I brought up Lonzo Ball earlier. Randle was drafted 7th by the Lakers. Lonzo Ball 2nd. Lonzo, but basically the Lakers, forget about just Kentucky guys. They need the old lottery Lakers draft picks for the Knicks. Trade deadline tomorrow. I'm going to ask you again, should the Knicks make a move? Let me give you a hint. The answer rhymes with yes. I want you to listen to Adrian Wojnarowski on a potential trade or the potential movement of Lonzo Ball at the trade deadline.
Lonzo Ball did not reach agreement with New Orleans on his rookie contract extension before the season. He'd be a restricted free agent after the year. And, you know, I think there's a sense on both sides that a new home would make sense for him. Chicago's a team to watch here. They need a point guard. They have, I think for Ball's side, you know, it's a place with some young talent, Zach LaVine, a group in Chicago under Billy Donovan that you've seen grow this year in his first season as coach. Philadelphia, I know, has reached out. They've been in the market for a point guard. I think Philly's more of a long shot for Lonzo Ball. But I do think that there's a pretty good chance he moves before Thursday's trade deadline. There have, again, been talks with the Bulls. That's certainly going to be one to watch.
Okay.
Lonzo wants like $20 million a year. In this NBA, he's probably worth it. Like, I got to say, the issue with Lonzo, I hear it from Stephen A. all the time. He's not aggressive enough. I don't know. I think Lonzo can lead a fast break. Lonzo can get you easy buckets because he's always looking for his teammates. The ball doesn't stick with him. He plays perimeter defense. He plays defense, period. He rebounds the ball. He's a great passer, great court vision. He reminds me, I think I said this yesterday, of a version of Mark Jackson. I'm trying to remember who it was on First Take yesterday who compared him to Jason Kidd. But, like, those guys, however their talents are pitched, and however, obviously, Jason Kidd's the best of that bunch. But those are like big, strong point guards with great court vision and not the same kind of fast twitchies maybe as some other guys in the league, and not in Jason Kidd. And all of them came into the league with shooting issues, especially Jason Kidd, right? No Jay. By the time he won in Dallas, he could shoot. Lonzo was that style in that, you know, like Mark Jackson. Teams that had Mark Jackson, I remember as a Knicks fan back in the day as a rookie, he was great. But teams who had Mark Jackson used to look to upgrade. It was like, yeah, he's good, but you would focus on the things he couldn't do. The guy wound up with one of the all-time assist leaders instead of what he could do. And I feel like sometimes people do that with Lonzo nowadays. Well, he doesn't have the fast twitchies or the hops of some of the other guys. Lonzo's athletic enough. No, he's not the Aaron Fox fast and all that stuff. But what, again, I said, what team does Lonzo not fit on? Like, this is the reason I wanted, I thought the Knicks should have drafted Haliburton instead of Obi Toppin. Because he was the kind of guy coming out, Haliburton, could play defense, good big combo guard in the backcourt, could shoot from the outside, you know, just would fit on any team, like would be good in any backcourt. Lonzo, the only thing he was really missing was the outside shot. Every year it's gotten better. And same from the free throw line, which is really a better indicator of future performance than anything else in terms of shooting. No, I don't see where Lonzo doesn't fit. But particularly on the Knicks, where he could grow with that team, you know, grow with Quickly and Julius Randle and all those guys, and be a real floor general. He is. The Knicks have some draft capital. They have some cap maneuverability. To me, Lonzo makes a lot of sense. Gabe in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. I was just wondering, do you think that the Los Angeles Clippers should go in on a Kyle Lowry kind of player or Lonzo? Because, you know, you're going to have to be giving him $30 million a year. So I was just wondering if you think you would go for Lowry or Lonzo more.
In the Clippers
and one last thing.
Go ahead.
The other day, you said that it was just a ticky-tack foul on Julius Randle. Just so you know, the NBA actually just fined Julius Randle $15,000 on that foul.
Okay. I thought it was if we're talking about the same play, I thought it wasn't a great call. If they fined him $15,000, Raj, do we know that they just fined him $15,000, and was that for what he said after the game? Or was it for the foul itself? All right, at any rate, Kyle Lowry is better for the Clippers than Lonzo Ball because the Clippers are in a different situation than the Knicks. Kyle Lowry right now is a better player than Lonzo Ball. He's more experienced. He has championship experience. He's won a championship as the kind of vocal leader of that team, even though Kawhi was the best player in Toronto. And Lowry's been around the league. He's been on several different teams now and has played well wherever he's gone. He's learned, you know, I think Masai Ujiri certainly challenged him when he got to Toronto and turned him into a better player. And if he went to a team, like if you're a team like the Clippers, who has Kawhi and has Paul George and is missing something, like a vocal leader who can be a third scoring option and can organize your offense so Kawhi doesn't really have to play as much point forward, which is not really his natural inclination, then Kyle Lowry works better on that team. The Knicks are not one Kyle Lowry player away from maybe winning a championship. The Knicks need a young point guard who can grow with the team. Raj.
Yeah, getting back to what Gabe was saying in Virginia, the NBA fined Julius Randle $15,000 for directing inappropriate language toward official and public criticism of officiating.
Right,
so
that's
not
what
for
I
the
figured.
Foul itself.
Right, that's what I figured.
Yep.
Right, and he had a lot of loud complaints after the game too. Mm-hmm. David in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey man, I have to tell you, I've been so frustrated in this state for so long over the NBA and the really ridiculous decisions of Mark Cuban. Why do so many NBA teams not get this one thing? You need a big in the paint that can be a stopper and a rebounder. And the last time the Mavericks had that, they won the NBA
Tyson
championship.
Tyson Chandler?
Against. What?
You're talking about Tyson Chandler?
Yes. Tyson Chandler was, he wasn't all world at a lot of stuff, but you know what he could do? He could block out, he could rebound, and he could get a hand in another.
Well, I would
space.
Say this. I think the Warriors ruined a lot of teams playing five out with Dre at the five. I think you're right. You do need listen, the reason a guy like Serge Ibaka, and he's really a four, not a five, but a guy like that is so valuable because you want a rim defender, but you also want a guy who can stretch it out. You know, so Brooke Lopez can do that. Serge Ibaka can do that. But so often the rim-running, rim-defender types, which you're right, of course, I don't know that you absolutely need that guy in today's NBA, but it sure helps to have him. So often that guy can't stretch it out that it affects the way you play. In other words, you can't then also have another guy on the floor, especially not two other guys who can't shoot from the outside. So it makes it more difficult to design the team. Now, having a guy like that on the roster in your rotation of eight or nine, let's say, come playoff time, who's going to get 20 minutes or something like that, DeAndre Jordan, that's fine. But what you're talking about is an expanded role for that guy. Sure, if Dirk Nowitzki is your four and you have shooting everywhere, you can have Tyson Chandler. But a lot of teams are not constructed at that high a level in terms of the shooting. And so it makes it more difficult to fit that guy in to a 30-minute plus a night role. It's easier to find to if you can get your hands on a guy like Ibaka or Brooke Lopez, even if they're not rim runners the same way, but they could be rim defenders who can grab boards and shoot from the outside. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. All right, Raj, you know our thing. It's Wednesday. It's 10 after 2 in the afternoon on the East Coast. It's time to Mike Jordan. Jordan Schultz, ESPN's insider, gets mic'd up. Analyst joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. But, Jordan, you are no longer just doing NBA stuff or college stuff. Boy, you're breaking news on the New York football Giants. I'm finding out all about how Daniel Jones recruited Galladay by seeing you on Twitter, the Schultz Report. So let's start right there. Tell me about this Daniel Jones-Galladay thing.
So Jones and Galladay did not have a relationship beforehand. And basically, Daniel gets a hold of Galladay's number, calls him up and says, come play here. Galladay's fired up. Jones is saying, okay, we can throw deep. I can get you a ton of targets. You can go over the middle. You can compliment Saquon. And all of a sudden, there's some synergy there. And then I talked to Jones afterward, and I said, you know, when it came together, what was your thought process when it actually became official? And he said, I'm fired up. He's a big-time player. He's going to change our offense. He's going to really help us. He's a tough guy. He's a 50-50 guy. And then in the red zone, I think you'll see a tremendous amount of targets for Galladay just because he's so good in the air. He's physical, and he's someone that has made a lot of plays basically inside the 10 and 20-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, listen, his whole thing is just staying on the field. If Galladay stays on the field, because maybe Slayton's a number one, too, we'll see. He's still young. He can certainly be a deep threat. Sterling Shepard's an excellent slot guy. They got a high-end talent receiver in Ingram at the tight end position and a real pro in Kyle Rudolph, been around at the tight end position. Their offense looks to be set if they can stay healthy. Jordan, I love Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft because he has him taking the kid, the defensive end, out of Michigan, and that's
from Michigan,
to me what
from Michigan. Yeah.
That's to me what they're missing. They now need. They have good defensive players, Blake Martinez and Williams, and guys who are really not edge rushers as much as they are overall versatile defensive players. To me, I'd love to see them with a high end rusher out of this draft at this point. And they apparently they're targeting the kid from Michigan, the defensive end.
Yeah, Quinn Perry. Yeah, the thing also, too, is that they could go in two directions, I think. They could go there. Kiper said he's not sure that Quinn is worthy of a top 10, top 15 pick. Maybe you go corner. And, you know, I think the thought process with the Giants and with Gettleman is, you know, to build from the inside out and on both sides of the ball. They could do that. We saw them go last year, Andrew Thomas, who had a very good rookie season. But I think corner is also another option. You know, you have Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech and Patrick Surtain from Alabama, both of those guys slotted right in that vicinity, 10, 11, 12.
Well, they get Surtain. That'd be tremendous.
Well. And I actually – Surtain's a baller. I mean, yep. He might not even be there, but if he is, it's hard to say no to one of those two. Yeah. And I also talked to Darnay Holmes, who started at basically a slot corner for them last year as a rookie. And he was saying, he's like, we feel like we have a really good defense. You know, they have Bradbury there as well, had a great year. But the thought of bringing in another pass rusher or another corner isn't a bad idea. And that's what Kiper was saying. I think they'll keep that pick. And I think they're either going to go defensive end or corner at 11.
Meantime, I got to be honest, talking to Jordan Schultz, time to Mike Jordan here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Jordan, I have to admit, I didn't watch a lot of Zach Wilson. I'm watching Justin. I got my eye on Justin.
He's
Fields
good, Max.
I've been watching tape. Ooh, he's really good. I think he's better than Justin Fields. His talent is eye popping. How can the Jets aren't going to pay? Like, the only reason the Jets, it's really a stupid test, I think, for the Jets. And usually, I don't know if you say they pass or fail it, which one means you're stupid, but it's the Jets. So, like, yeah, maybe they hold on to Sam Darnold. But I can't imagine they pass on Zach Wilson. Can you? Are they actually going to pass on this guy?
Well, what did Kiper say? He said it's 50-50. I think it's like 70-30. Got to take Zach Wilson. You got to do it. The guy has a great story. He was basically under-recruited. BYU and Utah wouldn't even look at him. He develops late. He grows into his body. And now you see the arm talent. And the stat that I love that I wrote down, he was 20 of 27 in terms of 30-plus yards in the air. And that stat, that number, is the best basically in all of FCS over the last decade. And what's the NFL today? You got to be able to throw on the move. Now, this is not to say that Justin Fields or Trey Lance can't. But when you ask around about Zach Wilson, I must say, Max, the names Rodgers, Mahomes, they come up. Now, you can't say he's going to be one of those guys, but you can see it. You can see that's the type of athlete and player he is.
Yeah, Rodgers, like, you know, not as big and strong as those guys, it doesn't look like, but he can make those, what do they call, off-platform throws, you know? Like, he can sling it, and he can move around. Or maybe how big is Zach Wilson? I don't even know offhand.
He's about 6'2 and a half, 210, 205.
So he's big enough.
You know, decent enough size.
Yep.
Yeah, he's big enough. He's athletic. They play, by the way, Max, last thing on Zach is they had games last season where 2-3 days in advance they found out the opponent. And they said he would just go and make plays. He didn't have a ton of tape, no problem. He lives in the film room, but he's a gym rat, and that's what I love about him. He will make plays.
Yeah, the Jets can get him, trade Darnold. They still have plenty of draft capital to put a team around him. You got to start with the quarterback if you have a chance. Jordan Schultz on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Meantime, the Rams. I'm looking at what this team has done with this Stafford situation. We argued about it on First Take today. We debated it. I think Stafford will be in the MVP hunt because there have been enough seasons where halfway through, like, he's kind of a bubble MVP candidate, and Golladay couldn't stay on the field, and they've never had a good team in Detroit. And by the end of the year, you're like, sometimes he's put up numbers, the team's no good. But he's joining a team now that made Goff look like an MVP candidate a couple years ago, two-thirds of the way through the season. What kind of year are you anticipating for Stafford?
Elite! Max, this guy's going to go off this season. He's going to throw for a ton of yards, touchdowns. And what I love about him is the weapons. He's going to have Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods now. And if you look at Goff, he threw 519 times to those guys. If you look at Stafford, he threw 520 to Jones, you know, Marvin Jones, Golladay, and a 35-year-old Amendola. Golladay missed 11 games. Now you add Mr. McVay. You take him from Matt Patricia. What an upgrade. A guy that's innovative, understands how to maximize a quarterback's success. They're going to run a ton of great options for him out of the backfield with the play action. I think he's going to have a monster move. There is pressure on him. But listen, Stafford is he's a big-time player, Max, and I think it's a perfect fit for both sides.
He's always had top-level arm talent, and he's put up the numbers sometimes. He hasn't put up the wins. I agree. I think he's going to have a monster year. I wonder about the playoffs. Like, there's more pressure on him, in my view, than anyone in the league, including Wentz and Dak and everyone, because his whole legacy, in a way, is on the line. You know, was he really always an underrated quarterback with a lot of talent on a bad team? Is he just not the kind of leader who can win? So much is on this year. I want to get to basketball now. Let's talk a little bit about, we'll start in the West Coast, we'll snake back around to the East, we only have a couple minutes. So let's start with the Lakers. Now, here's my view. Schroeder is a nice player. There ain't no way he's leading this group of guys without LeBron and AD to a winning record. But Jordan, all he's got to do in the next 15 games is like lose two to every one he wins. If he can even win one to every two he loses, the Lakers will still be a top 10 team. And that's all they need. They ain't going to lose a play-in game with LeBron and AD. And you're going to have to beat some permutation combination of Denver, Utah, Clippers, Dallas anyway, whether it's early or later in the playoffs. I think they'll be fine, but they've got to win at least like five of the next 15.
Max, they don't want to get into this kind of circuit where they're just playing average, mediocre basketball for weeks and weeks on end. I think they're 7-9. I see it on the screen without Anthony Davis. If you assume that Anthony Davis is going to come back and be 90%, 95%, that's one thing. But if you have any legitimate concern with a big guy and an Achilles to come back and not necessarily be 100% in the playoffs, that is a concern for me. And I look at the Lakers and I see – this team, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. They're very good, but they're very top-heavy. And other than Schroeder, with the exception of LeBron, of course, they don't really have a ton of these guys that can go make plays. You know, Caruso and Kuzma, these are good energy guys, KCP, they can make shots. But you need a guy to break down defenses, and that's what Anthony Davis is so good at in terms of being able to operate out of the high post. But if you have an Achilles issue, especially as a seven-footer, that's a legitimate concern. So I think they're still in good shape, but we know the West is very good. The Clippers, the Jazz, the Nuggets are starting to get going. Maybe Portland. I'm not 100% confident that the Lakers are in a great spot right now.
Yeah, well, by the way, that may be right. We'll see. It depends on health. Jordan Schultz, we're going to keep our eye on this trade deadline. When we talk to you next week, we may have some stuff to talk about regarding the Knicks. Appreciate you coming on, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Jordan Schultz joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Coming up, did Corey Davis just tip the Jets' cap? Is that what just happened? UFC 260 is a can't-miss event, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's code MAX only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Did Corey Davis just tip the Jets cap? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Trust in a team. It's so important. You hear it all the time in sports, business. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. You want Lonzo Ball on your team? I don't see what team he doesn't fit on. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, the Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. So teasing this segment before the last commercial break, you know, we have a plan on the show, and it's, you know, Corey Davis, did he give it away, like give away the Jets' plans, right?
Yeah,
but Raj writes in here like on my Zoom screen, because I'm in New York and Raj is in L.A., producing the show from L.A. These are the COVID days still. At any rate, it says, did Corey Davis tip the Jets' cap? And I thought,
that doesn't make any sense, Max.
That can't be right. What do you mean, tip the cap? To tip someone's cap is to acknowledge someone did something well. You know, you got to tip your cap to so-and-so. And then I thought, wait a minute, is he making a double entendre? Is he saying that he tipped the Jets' salary cap somehow? The Jets aren't running into those issues right now. What could he be? You know what? I'm going to trust Raj. I'm just going to say the things that he put on the screen. Boy, was that a mistake.
Listen, Max, look.
Do you know the difference between tip your cards and tip your cap, Raj?
Yes, I wrote it right on the rundown this morning, but you know I'm dealing with recovering from Taco Tuesday. I missed the gym.
Yeah, there it is.
I got another fantasy baseball draft coming up. I got things going on in my life, Max. I just can't be writing stuff accurately 100% of the time.
I don't see how you do it, Raj. Recovering from Taco Tuesday when it's wilding out Wednesday today. When do you rest?
Man, I got to go back to back, man. So who knows what the rundown is going to look like tomorrow.
Also, I got to tell you something. Managing fantasy baseball teams, you have to be such a degenerate. Like, they play baseball every day, and you manage multiple leagues, baseball leagues?
It's fun. I run two of my own, and I play one with Kyle Mahoney out in New York. Yeah, it's fun. Got lots of friends from back in the day, and we stay together, and we watch baseball and watch MLB Tonight on ESPN. It's fun.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The baseball season, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. And, do you have to pay attention to it like it's a football game? No, you can put it on in the background like wallpaper. But, I can't wait for the Yankees games to matter, to be on for real and just have it. By the way, isn't the K-Show doing calling a spring training Yankees game?
Yes.
What are the details Raj?
Well, there are details with Justin Toews this morning. They're doing it for charity, and that is today. So that should be a good time. I got to tune in and listen to that.
Absolutely. Oh, God. I know no one likes baseball anymore, but I still love baseball. To hell with all of you. I love it. Mel Kiper Jr. was on Greeny's show today talking about the Jets' plans for Sam Darnold. Listen to this, and then I'm going to get to the Corey Davis stuff.
This is Daniel Jones's year. This was what we say going on. This was Josh Allen's year, right? To shine. They had it all set up. Brandon Bean did with Diggs and everything around him. This is Josh's year to silence the critics. This is Daniel Jones's year. Sam Darnold would be coming into this year and next year to do that. So you're going to let him go? This could be the year where it all comes together. Start helping the guy. So why are we casting him, putting him aside, push him to the curb, and we're going to bring somebody else in new when this is Sam's year? He went through all the negativity. He went through all the trials and tribulations of young quarterback. He's still only 23. We're going to cut him loose.
I'll tell you why, Mel. Got to get Mel Kiper Jr. on the show. I'll tell you why. Because I don't care about being fair to the player. Who cares about being fair to Sam Darnold? Coming out of college, I thought Darnold would be a good NFL quarterback. I did not think he'd be a great one, and I watched a lot of Sam Darnold in college. He would lead comebacks, sure. He was mobile. He could make big plays. He also threw some interceptions. I thought he was good, not great. I thought he'd be good in the pros, not great. I did not watch a lot of Zach Wilson in college, but I've been catching up recently. Zach Wilson is, I think, differently talented. So it's not about being fair to Sam Darnold. I know Gase and the Jets are a mess and all that, and he may still wind up good, but he hasn't been. He's been the worst starter in the NFL over his career so far. It's 3 years into it already. So who cares about being fair to Darnold? Go draft Zach Wilson. Get a special quarterback. Trade Darnold. Get a second-round pick, let's say. And you have multiple firsts in the next 2 years, plus you'll have multiple seconds. You'll put a team around a real talented quarterback. So anyway, I mentioned that Corey Davis tipped his cards, the Jets' cards, not their cap. Raj Grobes, their cards. Listen to Corey Davis on Sam Darnold, Jets receiver Corey Davis.
Did you sign with the Jets believing Sam Darnold will be your starting quarterback in September?
Yeah, that's my understanding. Correct. Obviously, I'm coming in with my understanding that, he's the guy. And, I'm looking forward to playing with him. He's a competitor. And, obviously, we can both learn from each other.
I love it as a Giants fan. You know what I think the Jets should do, really? I think they should hold on to Sam Darnold, pass on Zach Wilson, and just put a nice team around Sam Darnold, see where that gets you. I think that's a great idea, Jets fans. Don't you? Meantime, go get a pass rush. Or Surtain's available, as Jordan Schultz mentioned. If he's available, okay, and the Giants secondary is looking pretty good to me on paper right now. But if a guy like that's available, fine, take him. Otherwise, I want to see the Giants. I'd like to see him get a couple pass rushers. I'd like to see him get an outside linebacker who can rush the passer and a defensive end who's a threat off the edge. I'd like to see him coming from either side because defensively, I think that's all they're missing. But okay, fine. You don't just draft for need. If a special talent is there in the secondary, go grab that guy. I get it. Going to hold on to Sam Darnold, Jets fans. I want to hear from you, Jets fans. 888-SAY-ESPN. How do you feel about that? Up next, hear who Charles Barkley says is the best basketball player in the whole wide world. If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply to your job. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And now you can try. Wait a minute. No, this is what I have to tell you. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now, I can finally tell you, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address. Ready? ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter.com/max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, not to mention ESPN Plus. As you can see, if you have ESPN Plus, wait till you hear who Charles Barkley says is the best player in the world. I might agree with him right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But that doesn't make him the MVP, I will explain. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. No big three, no big two, no one else on the team, no problem for James Harden. Is he the MVP favorite right now? I would say realistically, the answer is yes. He plays in a big market on the East Coast. Everyone sees him. He is carrying a team without KD and now without Kyrie and beating another team with an MVP candidate on it. 25 points, 17 assists to lead the Nets to a 16-12 victory over the Portland Trailblazers, 116-112. And that's Damian Lillard's team. Now, I think in fairness at this moment, if the season were to end right now, at first I thought Embiid was MVP. He gets hurt, which I was expecting. Was not expecting LeBron to get hurt, but now he's going to miss extended time. So at that point, you now have three candidates. I don't think it's going to be Giannis. He's won two in the regular season already. He's in contention for sure. By the way, Luka's played his way into contention. I think we're talking about Jokic, Harden, and Lillard. And let me tell you why it should be Lillard right now. It should be Lillard because Lillard has been playing without McCollum until recently, or Nurkic, and is in a tougher conference, has only missed a game or two, is averaging 30 and almost 8 assists a game. His PER, his efficiency numbers, are within MVP range. And his team's been winning a lot. He's been doing everything. So, Harden was not there with the Nets early on. He was in Houston. Now, the fact that he left Houston and they fell apart, and the fact that he gets to the Nets and he's carrying them, is the most impressive thing someone's done this year. But can you say the most valuable when Lillard's been with the same team adding value to it the entire season? Not to mention Nurkic. Here's Charles Barkley on Mike Greenberg's radio program earlier today talking about the best player on earth.
I know I'm going to probably get criticized for saying this. This guy might be the best basketball player in the world. I mean, he might be the best player in the world. I've always thought he was the best offensive player. He wasn't as great as Michael and Kobe. But I said a few years ago, and people laughed at me, he's the best offensive player I've ever seen. Mm. But right now, no disrespect to LeBron or Giannis or anybody, James Harden might be the best basketball player in the world, period.
I understand what he says. Like, I've been saying that. It's the first time in his career where I've watched him and thought, yep, he might be the best in the world. Now, if LeBron's healthy, the answer is still LeBron, of course, but he's not. But furthermore, look, Harden has to do it when it matters most in the playoffs, period. In terms of the regular season, like, you can't call someone the best in the world if they can't do it when it matters most. But in terms of the regular season, LeBron's a better defensive player than Harden. He's an excellent defensive player. Harden is not bad, but not on LeBron's level defensively. But in terms of the regular season, who else in the history of the game has the floor vision and passing ability of Harden, not only with the offensive output because he can obviously get to the paint and score once there and hit shots from the free throw line. But who can hit shots from anywhere? Who can do that? You know, Steph is not the passer Harden is, actually. Harden is really showing me something this season. I understand what Barkley means. It doesn't mean he's the MVP, because again, Lillard's been doing for his team what he's been doing all year, and Harden, though his value is demonstrated by what happened to Houston and what he's done for Brooklyn, that value, you know, it shows you how valuable he is, but it doesn't make him the most valuable player in the league, because in fact, he wasn't there with Brooklyn in the beginning of the season. Take some calls. Steve in Brooklyn, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Max? Keep Sam Darnold. Trade the number two pick. Get a plethora of other picks. They have too many holes to fill anyway.
Yeah, but you can do that even if you took Zach Wilson. Like, in other words, do you think – I believe this. The premium that you can get from Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold, not only the eyeball test, which tells me Zach Wilson's better than Sam Darnold, but the fact that he's a rookie on a rookie deal – where Sam Darnold's heading into year four, so you're going to have to make a decision whether to pay him or not, and his track record isn't good so far. If it suddenly becomes much better, now you have to hand over a bunch of money to a player who only has one good year under his belt. So not only is Zach Wilson the eye test better, but economically he makes more sense. Now, is that premium greater than the premium that you get for drafting another player second overall versus draft, you know, the player you can get in the second round? I think given the number of draft picks, high draft picks that the Jets have in the next 2 years, you might as well go use one of them to get the quarterback, trade the quarterback you now have for a second rounder, and surround the superior talent in Zach Wilson with a bunch of stuff, even if that stuff is slightly less than what you would surround Sam Darnold by with. Got a lot of calls to get to still. A lot of L.A. sports to talk. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.